WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. Flyers have been trying to plan ahead with the government shutdown in mind. These people were flying out of Austin.
I did go a little earlier just thinking that the lines might have been a little longer.
I just feel bad for the workers that they're not going to get paid.
Congressional correspondent Caitlin Huey Burns says there's been some but not a lot of talk today.
There is a small group of bipartisan senators who have been talking about some of the policy proposals. So that's a little bit of progress, but don't hold your breath because tomorrow the Senate won't even be here. They will observe Yom Kippur. They won't return until Friday.
National parks visitors may find themselves shut out because of the shutdown. KCBS's Matt Bigler has one example in San Francisco.
On the first day of the government shutdown, Alcatraz Island was closed for construction, but National Park rangers were unsure when the rock would reopen. George Elvin, a cruise ship volunteer, says tourists will be surprised.
Oh, they'll be very disappointed. They will not be happy campers. Alcatraz is the most asked question.
Meanwhile, Muir Woods is closed indefinitely. Bigger national parks like Yosemite are expected to stay open, but with minimal staffing for safety and security. Matt Bigler for CBS News, San Francisco.
United Healthcare says it's dropping dozens of Medicare Advantage plans next year, affecting hundreds of thousands of people. Here's CBS's Matt Piper.
United Health says most plan closures will occur in rural areas where it's working to streamline operations. The government pays private insurers to operate the Medicare Advantage plans for those 65 and older or with disabilities, but United says government funding will have dropped in 2026 by about 20%.
CBS's Cammy McCormick tells us there's been another mysterious drone incursion in Europe.
German authorities are investigating reports of unidentified drones potentially spying on critical infrastructure, a power plant, a hospital, and a shipyard. Poland, Estonia, and Denmark have all reported drone incursions. European leaders are meeting this week to discuss a drone defense.
All right, who gets the traffic ticket for this one?
Questions are being raised in Atlanta over a video recorded by a woman of a driverless Waymo car illegally passing a school bus that was letting off children. The bus had its flashing red lights on and its stop sign extended near the driver's door. No one was hurt in the incident.
That's correspondent Jim Crisula. Well, the San Diego Padres, Cleveland Guardians, and now the New York Yankees have all extended their wild card Major League Baseball playoffs to a deciding Game 3 tomorrow. It'll be the Padres, Cubs, Guardians, Tigers, and Yankees and Red Sox. Dodgers are trying to put away the Cincinnati Reds right now. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
The Packers reevaluate. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers having their bye week. Now, after losing to the Browns last week, how are they reacting to Sunday night's game with the Cowboys ending in a tie? Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Right now, it feels like kind of like a kick in the gut. It definitely feels more like a loss than anything else. I think what's disappointing is when you have opportunities to win games, which we had an opportunity in both games to win the game. And when you don't win the game, it's disappointing.
College football, following losses to Alabama and Maryland, the Wisconsin Badgers head to Michigan on Saturday. Luke Fickell.
We know we have to get better. There's a process to getting better. We have to see some of those steps to getting better. But there's no way of doing it if you can't stay together and you can't keep your mind going in a direction. I can always say positive, but going in a direction that gives us a chance to get better.
That's the Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some clouds in the overnight, light winds, and temperatures in the lower 50s. On Thursday, sunshine returning across the area, highs reaching the upper 70s to lower 80s. Temperatures warmer on Friday as we'll reach the middle 80s. Right now, it's 64.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by Dr. Laura Dresser, the Associate Director of the High Road Strategy Center. We talk about workers needing an actual, fair, and living wage. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Hi, everyone. Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane, Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff. Coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are waiting to be joined by Darren Von Ruden, the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Association. We're going to talk about tariffs and bailouts and all.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. Yeah. Tariffs and bailouts. Oh, my. All of that coming up once Darren Von Ruden can join us. I know he was also out in D.C.
Yes. He and the Wisconsin Farmers Union makes regular trips to D.C. to talk to our lawmakers. And he has stories. He has spoken to the individuals who support them and the individuals who do not. And it's weird because one of those individuals is Derek Van Orden, who is not only a congressman, but he sits on the Ag Committee.
He does sit on the Ag Committee. You would think he would be meeting with Wisconsin farmers with some regularity.
Jane, he doesn't have time for that. He has to tweet.
Oh, he legislative priorities.
Well, not only that, he has to tweet, but he also has to tweet and threaten people.
That's true.
Whether it's just...
It's very time consuming.
Calling them names, threatening their funding. Derek Van Orden, by the way, it's very hard to keep
when we have
the two of
two.
Them I know. Separate when you're talking, because it's so easy.
It's
every
so
single
close.
Time. Yeah. He will be joining us in a moment to talk about and this came down last week, and we can talk about it a little right now. The president decided to make an announcement, and I really would love to find out if his staff knew this. He said that he was going to, that they, I should say they are going to bail out the farmers like they did in 2018, 2019.
During his first term.
During their first term.
Yeah.
They are going to bail out the farmers, and they're going to use, wait for it, tariff money, which, by the way, is now in the trillions. They found $31 billion, according to...
Trillion?
Nope, billions.
Was it only billions?
It was $31 billion they've just, quote, found, but there's been trillions taken in by the tariff, so now they're going to bail out the farmers, which begs the question, didn't we... So we're just paying for it twice now?
Well, the farmers are paying themselves back.
Yeah, exactly.
Essentially, because we, as consumers, are the ones who are paying for these tariffs, as we see every time we go to the store.
Yeah.
And the price of things are going up.
Mm-hmm.
If it's an export, that means that the importers had to hike the price to cover the cost of the tariffs.
Yeah. So we have the bailouts for the farmer, which, as I said, the president made the announcement last week, and it was covered, but this wasn't like he was going on stage saying, today we're talking about bailing out the... He just sort of said it like he says a lot of things, just sort of comes to mind, and then has to fall out of his face. But then also the fact that the shutdown is going to affect the farmers as well. And this is something that Darren wanted to speak with, which is the effect of the government shutdown, which is happening as of 12:01 this morning.
This morning.
is going to be affecting the farmers.
So. And I'm still seeing reports, and we're going to talk to Will Westmoreland.
Yes.
Who is a farmer from southwestern Missouri that has been on the show a number of times. But I am seeing more and more reports from farmers across the country going, you're killing us. This is killing us. We don't have, our crops are rotting.
Yeah.
There's no one to pick them. You're one of those lazy white guys who's watching 6.1 hours of television in your mom's basement every day. I think they're expecting you to take that job.
I like TV, but what is it about white guys? There's lazy every guy.
Well, okay.
But that actually brings me back to the what we were talking about earlier, too. Our Secretary
Brooke
of
Rollins?
Labor, oh, Brooke Rollins, had a great solution.
She's the Secretary of Ag.
Sorry. Secretary of Ag had a great solution a few months ago, which was all of those, quote, lazy people on Medicaid who are frauding us out can just go in the fields.
And pick.
Solution, problem solved. There you go. I'd love to see if Darren, well, and I think we've spoken to Darren on this, is the farmers are not getting responses from, because they're putting the word out saying, hey, we're hiring, we need people. And they're not getting the response because we see ourselves as people who don't do that work. Sorry, that's just how it is.
For decades.
And it's been called the worst kept secret that farmers rely upon undocumented folks, migrant workers, to come and do the work in the fields that provide us with our food and other products. It is just the way of life. But now, not so much anymore, Jane, and all those lazy guys watching the TV. You get to go.
There's a job waiting for you.
Go pick some fruit.
There's a job waiting for you. Yeah. I understand it's really easy work, too.
Oh, yeah. Not backbreaking,
piece of cake. Yeah. Speaking of our Agriculture Secretary, Brooke Rollins, I don't know if she got this from Wisconsin's senior senator, Ron Johnson, but it made my ears perk up when I heard Brooke Rollins talking about the plight of our farmers. Mm-hmm. Gavin, can we play that clip, please, from our agriculture secretary?
Can you tell us a little bit more about President Trump's plan to use tariff money to pay farmers? What does that look like? How much are we talking about? How long will that program last?
You know, it is a very elegant solution, right? That the amount of tariff money that is coming into our country is stunning. The president had a vision. He's effectuating the vision. The vision is pretty remarkable. The whole entire world economy is now realigning around American products, which is incredible. But again, to this moment of uncertainty, the ability to offset any payments to the farmers through potential tariff revenue is really where the president wants us to head, and that's what we're looking at very soon. One more.
It's a very elegant solution. Yeah. Ron Johnson, by the way.
Kudos, buddy.
Ron Johnson told that to Corrine Hendrickson.
Yes.
Who was then a daycare provider in Wisconsin, longtime daycare provider.
Yeah.
And when they went to talk to Wisconsin senior senator about the child care crisis in our state, he is a senator from our state. He said that an elegant solution would be for Corrine Hendrickson just to stay home for nothing.
And
watch other people's kids.
He said it would be great for her to stay home and watch other people's kids. She had to then pull it out of him and say, you mean for free? And he didn't respond.
He just smiled at
her. And people, I like our naysayers are like, well, he didn't say for free. I was like, yeah, okay.
There we go.
You're all about nuance now.
Mm.
There's two things on that I find really funny, Jane. One, I think we need a new segment called An Elegant Solution.
And
anytime
that.
A congressman, a senator, or cabinet level secretary, or the president has one of these fixes, it'll be an elegant solution. Because she used, I don't know if that's now a thing where they're saying an elegant solution.
I hope so.
But also, she used the word stunning. Stunning doesn't denote great. It means as though you can say, this tidal wave is awesome. It doesn't mean great. It means overwhelming, could be terrible, but just enough for you to go, oh my goodness. So stunning, when she says that the money we're getting from the tariffs is stunning, I don't think trillions of dollars on the tariff shelf that I literally am using Trump's words.
Yes.
He called it a tariff shelf.
Yes.
I don't know. I can't buy that on Amazon, but to me, stunning. It's like when you open Al Capone's vault, you open it up and there's nothing there but maybe like a buck. That's to me the stunning amount we're going to get from these tariffs, and it's going to and they're going to and if they commit to bailing out the farmers, they're going to have to find the money somewhere then. And I know the rich guys who are getting the tax breaks aren't giving it up.
Oh, they're no. I have a feeling they're going to hang on to that pretty tightly.
Absolutely. Yeah. And as PJ just said on the live stream, let's not forget $20 billion to Argentina.
And the reason we are sending money to Argentina is because Malele is Donald Trump's buddy. Mm-hmm. That's why we're helping out Argentina. Argentina, by the way, as a good sign of faith and friendship between our two countries, they're selling soybeans to China. China stopped buying American soybeans because of the tariffs.
Yeah.
So now we are giving $20 billion to the country that is helping to screw our farmers.
And that leads me to two other points now. One, it is on record. I read a story in Ag Web Farming. It's a great app if you want to learn about what's going on in the farming world. Great stories. Download directly to your device and look at all the news that comes through. It said in there that Donald Trump was telling China / asking China / maybe begging China to quadruple their soybean purchases from America because they've been hit so hard from what's happening now and what happened back in the day, too.
In the first
tariff war that happened.
Right.
You know, also, the notion that, okay, so Jane, I have an elegant solution.
Excellent.
So you know how like he's helping out his friend because he's his friend and they like him. He helps out BB. He helps out Putin. And he'll
Cutter too. He's a big fan of Cutter lately. Yeah.
So okay, folks, so let's all get together. You don't have to mean this. Just tell President Trump he's nice. Tell them that you like him. He might help us with healthcare. He could release the Epstein files. Maybe if we just compliment him enough.
Oh,
we could compliment him into, I mean, I don't know, maybe just not having massive cuts to healthcare.
If we just compliment him enough.
Exactly. I mean, it's like a regular donor thing, Jane. You start like low.
Sure.
Hey, I like that tie.
You don't want to overwhelm him, right? You got to warm him up a little bit.
Maybe he doesn't tell an ICE agent to arrest you, even though you're a legal citizen or here protected legally. As you get more up and up and up, you get more. So let's call it a quid pro quo. He knows about those.
He does.
So let's call it a quid pro quo. We just up those compliments up, and then who knows? I mean, Jane, you never know. You could do this all together. We get ourselves some universal health care. It'd take a lot of compliments, but I believe in us. That's how we can move forward together. Just give him enough compliments, make him feel loved, and we can get what we need as Americans who pay our taxes.
American soybean farmers and their families are suffering. There are 500,000 of soybean producers in the country that need new markets, opportunity, and a level playing field. Tennessee Soybean Promotion Council Executive Director Stephen Maupin says the tariffs imposed by Trump are death by a thousand cuts.
Oh, man.
We're in a significant and desperate situation where none of the crops that farmers grow right now return a profit. They can't even break even. A fifth generation soybean farmer in Tennessee said the year started off really good. We were in the field in late March, which is early for us. But then the wheels came off, so to speak, pretty quick. There was devastating flooding in Tennessee in April, then a drier than normal summer, higher supply costs because of inflation and the Trump tariffs. Quote, so much of what happened and what's going on here is totally out of our control. Mm-hmm. We just want free, fair, open market where we can sell our goods as competitively as anybody else around the world. We feel we have a superior market here in the U.S., but we need to have markets.
And I don't know who that gentleman voted for, and I do not care. That is an example of how all of this happening right now affects
all of us.
And, you know, you can't take into consideration weather and flooding and all that stuff. You just have to hope for the best. And they were getting good. And then this came along and flooding came along. And one of those things can be controlled. So I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Compliments, baby.
You look so handsome today, by the way. Have I told you that?
Yeah.
When we return, medical marijuana might actually make it to Wisconsin. Really?
What?
We'll kick that around on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the vast statewide, countrywide, pick us up around the globe, the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can leave a comment on the live stream. Good morning, live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up at the very end of the show, about a half an hour from now, we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the
As the worm turns. As the worm turns. You said you left me.
Stick around for Tisbat, as we call it. Mm-hmm. This Shouldn't Be a Thing, coming up around 10:53 this morning. We wanted to talk a little bit about medical marijuana. We intended to get around to this yesterday, and then we just got bogged down by all the other things happening in the world. Yeah. Wisconsin GOP lawmakers from WISN introduced bill to legalize medical marijuana. Three Republican state lawmakers introducing a bill to legalize medical marijuana after multiple previous failed attempts. This new measure, sponsored by State Senator Patrick Teston from Stevens Point, Senate President Mary Felskowski, Tomahawk, State Rep Patrick Snyder from Weston, would require people have a doctor's diagnosis and then register through a new state office.
Yeah, the last time they tried to do this was, I think it was last year.
Was it last year?
I believe so, I think. Or it's or maybe it was 1948. Time's a construct at this point. the proposal was you could only get medical, and this only went through the assembly. It never reached the Senate.
Never got very far, yeah.
And you had, you could only have like 3 to 5 ailments.
Yeah, they were very specific. Yeah, very specific conditions.
And it wouldn't be what I would think you would do is legalize it, then license it, and allow dispensaries to sell it. They would set up 5 state-run dispensaries.
Right.
Which seems, I don't know, seems like spending to me.
It does.
Instead of, you know, not doing that and just licensing it out and reaping the taxes. But yeah, it was so convoluted and so strict and so...
It doesn't sound like it's that much different this time around.
Yeah, only I think they added IBS to the list of ailments.
Well, patients, again, under this proposal by the 3 Republicans to bring medical marijuana to Wisconsin, mm-hmm. patients have to get a diagnosis of a condition like cancer.
Understood.
Multiple sclerosis.
Great.
PTSD. Absolutely. I've talked to veterans about this. Who would really like to have access mm-hmm. to it? Parkinson's,
yep.
chronic pain,
okay.
or IBS.
Oh, what?
I think you're right. I don't think IBS, which is irritable bowel syndrome. That's not a serious thing. It's got to be horrible.
No, I don't think it's a thing to. I don't laugh at the syndrome. Nor do I laugh at the people who have it. I don't have it, and I feel good about that. But I feel like that was a very random one that maybe one of the people who proposed the bill suffers from. So they could, because I don't know how marijuana
it might be a little self-serving is what
exactly
you're
what Tony just said. They're like, which one of the 3 has IBS? you know, just legalize it. Like, just okay, start medical. Just make it. Don't do all these caveats. Let people have the relationship with their doctors and talk about it. If the doctor prescribes it, fine. We get the taxes. Look at all the other states, including Minnesota, Michigan, Illinois. Wait for it. Iowa.
Iowa has medical marijuana, my friends. Iowa.
And see how that, what they can. And the problem, though, Jane, is that I feel like in order for that to happen, we also have to have a better Madison, a better capital there. Because the thing is, if we take in tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars on taxes for marijuana, what happens to that money? Do they just want to give it back? Do they want to do tax breaks for rich? Do they want to let it sit in a pile on
Mount Voss?
We're going to call it the surplus shelf. Set that money in the surplus and do nothing with it. You have to invest that money back into the state. And I don't think if marijuana was legal right now that I could trust our leaders in Madison to do that. They would just let the money pile up and then they'd fight over it. You have to have people who are elected in who will say, we have all this cash. Let's put it into education. Let's put it into mental health. Let's put it into infrastructure. Let's do something with this money, invest back, and become the great state that we once were. Instead, Iowa has marijuana and we don't.
Tony, in the live stream, do we really want to be like those liberal hippies from Iowa? Excellent point, Tony.
You're very right.
Really good point, Tony.
I really think that...
Wacky Iowans.
Yeah.
A 2024 effort by Assembly Republicans spearheaded by Robin Voss proposed state-run dispensaries that did not get Senate support. Jack texting in from Merrimack on WAUK, state-run marijuana dispensaries? Isn't that communism?
That sounds commie plan to me.
It sounds socialism.
Sounds like
communist, socialist, Marxist.
All the ists in a caravan.
Yes.
Trying to take our jobs and our weed.
Under the new bill, patients could ingest medical marijuana through oils, tinctures.
I don't know what that means.
It's a liquid.
Okay.
We're going to work that word in more often because mm-hmm. it's just unused tinctures. Edibles and vapors, but you can't smoke it. Smoking in any form is not good for you. Says the nicotine addict. Inhaling smoke in your lungs is not a good thing in any form.
And to PJ on the live stream who's talking about we have a medical law here, it's very, very strict in its wording. And I think that what you need to do is open it up a little bit more than what they have here. I'm looking at the law at this point. And yeah, we need a modern medical marijuana. We need a modern legalization of marijuana in this state because we can use that money and others, and we're losing money by people going to other states.
Big time.
I've heard from friends.
News is coming up next, and then audio sorbet. What household chore are you afraid of? Let's talk pilot lights. You're listening to Matt Mayer on Air. Stay close. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
CBS News Brief. Despite the government shutdown, some workers have to stay on the job no matter what, as Justin Bautista, a union representative at Houston's Johnson Space Center, tells us.
The International Space Station has been flying continuously with humans on board for almost 25 years now. So the flight controllers at the Mission Control Center, for example, are required to continue to work.
No progress has been reported for a deal to end the shutdown. FDA microbiologist Stephanie Rogers, a single mother of two, was furloughed.
It's what's going to happen in our future. And how do we prepare for that? How do we, you know, with so much uncertainty, how do we know what we should do?
Hundreds of thousands of people will lose their Medicare Advantage plan, as correspondent Matt Piper explains.
United Health says it will stop offering Medicare Advantage in 109 counties across the country, blaming higher costs with reimbursement pressure.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
The Packers reevaluate. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers having their bye week. After losing to the Browns last week, how are they reacting to Sunday night's game with the Cowboys ending in a tie? Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Right now, it feels like kind of like a kick in the gut. It definitely feels more like a loss than anything else. I think what's disappointing is when you have opportunities to win games, which we had an opportunity in both games to win the game. And when you don't win the game, it's disappointing.
College football, following losses to Alabama and Maryland, the Wisconsin Badgers head to Michigan on Saturday. Luke Fickell.
We know we have to get better. There's a process to getting better. We have to see some of those steps to getting better, but there's no way of doing it if you can't stay together and you can't keep your mind going in a direction. I can always say positive, but going in a direction that gives us a chance to get better.
That's the Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Celebrities like Emily Blunt, Ben Stiller, Mark Ruffalo, Tom Hanks, and Scarlett Johansson have all been vocal about their opposition to AI in the entertainment business. Yesterday in the Beats, I mentioned Tilly Norwood, an AI actress who even has an Instagram account and whose creator says that she will probably be signed by a talent agency soon. As you can imagine, that did not sit well with actors. One in particular, Melissa Barrera, who has been part of the Scream franchise, recently said that any agency that signs an AI performer should be boycotted. Two prominent talent agencies, the William Morris Endeavor and the Gersh Agency, have vowed they will not sign the Tilly Norwood creation or other AI actors. According to Yahoo Entertainment, a representative from the William Morris Endeavor says they only represent humans. That's a very admirable stance. I just wish when they represented me, they would have returned my calls quicker. Seriously, though, it is a small victory. I hope the momentum continues. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some clouds in the overnight, light winds, and temperatures in the lower 50s. On Thursday, sunshine returning across the area, highs reaching the upper 70s to lower 80s. Temperatures warmer on Friday as we'll reach the middle 80s. Currently 62 degrees.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that.
I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chicago-based comedian Vince Moranto, who will make the popcorn pick of the week and tell us about an upcoming Wisconsin date, and my pal Madison-based film critic Rob Thomas.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning.
Hello.
And welcome back.
Welcome back.
To Matinair on Air, Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, the board lord, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, baseball or football. We got football coming up Saturday. Wisconsin at Michigan. Does anybody want to watch that?
I mean,
their last game wasn't so good.
I mean, the Badgers aren't great. And
this is not their season. Anyway,
it Wisconsin, hasn't been their season for seasons now.
Wisconsin at Michigan. Our broadcast will start this Saturday morning at 9 a.m. You can catch it on terrestrial radio, on WRCE in Richland Center, WLAK in beautiful Amory, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, and WRPN in Ripon. So Badgers football against Michigan this Saturday. Our broadcast will start at 9 a.m. This is the part of the show that we call Audio Sorbet, where we like to get away from the news and take a breath and get reoriented and
especially
have some
today,
laughs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's exhausting. So we were talking about this. This is where these things come from.
Every day we come into the studio and we say we need an audio sorbet, and I always know that we cannot try to find a unless we stumble into a topic outside of the building. You cannot say, it's like saying make a viral video. You can't do that.
No.
It has to come from a topic that's being talked about out of context for no reason. We're just shooting the bull in the room, and then all of a sudden you say,
that's it.
That's it. There it is. That's the only way you can find one.
So this morning before we got on the air,
yeah,
we were talking about my neighborhood had our block party on Saturday, and I had asked some of the neighbors if they knew any handy guys.
Yeah.
So we have a two-story house. And we have an attic that is unfinished.
Yeah.
The only thing in the attic when we had our bathroom redone is a vent fan to the outside. Now, we remodeled that bathroom about 15 years ago. Again, the attic isn't finished, doesn't have a floor.
Yeah.
And nobody's been up there to check on it. And I worry. And I want to make sure there's no leaks.
Yeah.
My husband has a spinal cord injury. He is not bendy. And he doesn't, he can't do ladders. He can't, it's difficult for him to get on the ground for various things again. So I went to the block party and I said, does anybody have a handy guy? I'm looking for a handy guy. And one of my neighbors, Becky, said, she pointed at her husband. She said, he's it. So Mark, that lovely man, is going to come over and crawl in our attic for us this week. Because I am afraid to go in the attic.
Yeah.
I said it out loud.
Yeah.
I don't want to go up there. It scares me, and I'm afraid I'm going to fall through the ceiling.
See, so I share the same fear of attics. Let me rephrase that. I don't fear attics. I just don't want to come across. And if there was a mouse, I could deal with that. It's finding dead mice or dead critters. I just don't want to. I don't want to have to deal with them. I would rather just not. Thank you. I know. Here's my man card. Here's my dude card. Whatever you want to take from me.
I don't think you're alone. It's a you factor.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a bad thing. You don't want to. You don't want to encounter desiccated mouse bodies. I understand that.
You went with the big words today. You and the big words, I'm loving it. Keep doing that. Take our vocabulary. Never mind.
Words. Carol from Waukesha texted in early because she wasn't able to stick around. She said, I wanted to share my household task that I hate. I cannot set nor can I clean out mouse traps. So you are not alone.
Yeah.
And I have my good friend Rosalind cannot handle mouse traps.
Well, the other thing too, and this is, it may be because I have the dog now. Hi, Maybelle. You're not listening. Any sort of animal pain hurts me, and I don't want to. My house is not overrun with mice. I do not have a rodent problem. Therefore, I don't feel the need to put traps in the attic to kill them.
Okay.
Because unless they're causing a problem, we'll go from there. And we haven't had any. So I don't feel the need to put something up there that if one gets around, it's fine. It's not causing any harm. I've not seen anything happen to my house because of it. I personally do not like the idea of killing animals, even if they're pests and rodents.
Well, you're the man who takes spiders outside.
I do. I take spiders out. I don't need to kill them. There's nothing that brings me no accomplishment by killing a spider. And yeah, I just, no thank you.
Well, good for you.
It's a problem.
But for some folks, I mean, if you get a mouse infestation, you don't want that.
If there's a mouse infestation, I will take necessary action to take care of that. But at this point in my home, there is nothing that makes me go up in the attic, which I'm thankful for, and set traps. So
what is your household chore that either scares you or just creeps you out? And you have to get somebody else to do it.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. This is today's audio sorbet because I actually managed to wrangle one of our kind neighbors into crawling up into our attic to make sure nothing's leaking up there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark.
Will he crawl up? I
don't know if he does this. If he's a regular attic crawler, I can ask him. What is your household chore that you just, it either scares you, because I don't want to go in the attic. I'm afraid to go in the attic.
Yeah.
Or it just creeps you out. 855-752-4842. Richard from Waukesha is on the line. Good morning, Richard. What do you want to say?
Morning. I have some advice for you on your attic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of attic is it? Can you stand in it, or is it, you won't crawl?
No, you can stand. You can stand in it.
Mm-hmm. Same with mine.
Okay. Do you have it insulated on the floor, which is the ceiling below?
Yes, I believe so.
I think so.
Yeah.
That's a thing to find out, because that would be a major improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And you could take the ceiling down from underneath and insulated, or you can take the boards or floor up above.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. No, I will say for me, Richard, my attic is completely unfinished, where it's actually like the joists, I think you'd call
joists.
Them. The joists. And then there is insulation on the floor of my attic, which is on my ceiling. So yeah, I'm covered there. I mean, I honestly should call someone up just to make sure everything is up to date and looks good for that point. But yes, thank you for that.
Appreciate that, yeah. Richard. I'll do that if I can ever get up there. 855-752-4842. What is the household chore that just creeps you out, don't want to do it, or grosses you out? 855-752-4842. Tammy from Eau Claire texting in, listening on WCFW. The bathroom sink drains.
Oh.
All the gunk that accumulates, it just grosses me out.
Okay, so I have a fix for you on that one. I don't know, like, because I had to go natural because my old landlord, she didn't want us pouring chemicals down there. Understood?
Sure.
Not my pipes.
Sure.
So I found a great solution, which was you pour some... I believe you pour some baking soda in there,
okay.
And then you pour a mixture of hot water and vinegar, and then that should get, and then get yourself a plastic snake. I do that with mine because, you know, I got long hair. My wife has long hair. We have a dog. Our drains in the bathroom, especially the shower,
get clogged.
So yep. That's a natural way of fixing it. And those snakes, that's a basic plastic snake. They're so basic. They don't even sell them on the shelves at grocery stores. They're on those side things that hang off of the shelves where they're like, oh, you need one of these things. Yeah, you got them. So that's a great, natural, easy, quick fix.
I like that.
I told you about. It's not a fear. I don't like being on ladders.
You're not alone.
Ladders bug me out. I know I need to do them sometime, but like, especially I have a two-story as well, and we were cleaning windows, power washing windows, like just making sure they look nice. And I had been putting off cleaning my gutters for experts would call it too long. What are you pointing at?
Terry. Terry texting in, listening in Waukesha on WAUK, cleaning gutters.
Yep. Cleaning gutters made me very, very freaked me out. And then one day I'm like, all right, we got to clean the windows. I'll just get on the ladder. I'll look and see how bad it is. And then I found out, and I've been in my house for 3 years now. We have gutter. We have gutter. Like,
you have gutter cutters. Guards?
We have gutter guards. Just covered. Perfect. And they were there when we got there.
You're off the hook.
I'm completely off the hook. And I was very excited and then became immediately ashamed of myself.
Oh, don't be ashamed.
Because I didn't know.
Well, now you do.
I do know now.
Sue from Franklin, washing the windows. Again, that's ladder
yes.
work.
Yes.
I have a fear of heights now. I didn't used to be afraid of heights, and now I'm very twitchy. What is your household chore that freaks you out or scares you?
Go ahead. You have one more.
I do have one more.
Yes, you do. And it's a fair one, too.
Okay. It's the pilot light on the water heater.
Yes. Understood.
Again, my husband has a spinal cord injury, and it's much easier for me to get down on the ground when, you know, if it gets blown out or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I am so convinced in the back of my head that is going to blow back on me.
Yeah.
Like a scene out of the movie Backdraft.
I really like how you took it from this old house to disaster movie in a sentence.
You know what? I mean, I'm on the floor and I've got my match and I've got a hemostat grabbing it and trying to light, and I'm just waiting for it to blow back in my face and I'm going to be incinerated.
Is like,
a, be like a speck puff.
Is there like a bad guy on the other side of the room who's just smoking a cigarette slowly looking and just
watching
flicks
me.
It and watches it. The cherry just hit, and you're like, this is what I was afraid of! Credits.
Judy from East Troy texting in, we have 12-foot ceilings. I cannot stand dusting them.
Mm-hmm.
All the stuff coming down in my eyes, super sore, neck hurts two levels in order to handle it. Yeah, that doesn't sound like much fun, Judy.
I have a two-story house, and we have vaulted ceilings, so very high. And of course, because these people were amazing when they designed it, lights on the ceilings.
Oh, lovey, in your vaulted ceilings.
So I had to buy a telescopic arm to change because I cannot reach it from any natural place, and I'm not going on a ladder because how far it is from the wall, I would fall directly off. So I had to invest $39 in a telescopic arm for the light bulb. And don't get at me saying you have a cheaper fix because it's too late. I spent the money.
Now I just want to borrow it. I don't know what I'm going to do.
You can. I'm only going to use it once in a while.
I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I just want to see if I can
just go
anything.
Up to your husband with the suction cup thing and just from my...
And finally, Brett from Brown Deer says, if the mouse dies naturally in the attic and it doesn't smell, just leave the body as a warning to the other mice. There you go.
It'd be a bad thing if this happened to you.
This could happen to you, too. All right.
Shame.
Thank you, everybody, for checking in on that with Household Fears. It just gives you the creeps. And you have to get somebody else to do it for you. When we return, we are going to wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the As the Worm Turns edition. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the vast statewide.
What?
Countrywide.
What?
You can pick us up wherever you are around the world on the Civic Media app. Stay with us.
Right, so baby, I ain't scared to fall in love. Take my heart, I'm not afraid to give it up to you, to you,
to you.
Ain't no fear, I can't fight. I'm okay, girl, when I look in your eyes, I like what I see in there, and I ain't
engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, our one, our only Calzone on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, it is Thursday, 2nd of October.
It's the 2nd of October. You don't know this song. I just made it. It's the 2nd of October.
It is October today.
Oh, my gosh.
Friend, colleague, host of Amicus, the Law Review, Jim Santel, is going to be joining us. Yes. There's a lot to cover with Jim Santel.
He might just stick around for 5 to 7 hours.
Yeah, could be. Hour number two, we'll lighten it up. J.R. Radcliffe will be here. The Acme Packing Company's J.R. Radcliffe to talk all things sports. And then we'll wrap it up where we are right now.
Yeah.
With This Shouldn't Be a Thing. And don't forget, coming up after 11 o'clock, Tom Hartman is going to have another keyword for you for our multi-state text to win Go for the Green and Gold contest. Be listening to Tom 11 to 1 or 11 to 12 and then 1 to 2. Mm-hmm. He'll have a new word for you in both those hours. You have to use the Civic Media app. Todd Alba has another word for you in the 3 o'clock hour. Maggie Dawn, 5 p.m. Pete Schwabe at 7 o'clock. even before that exciting thing on Pete Schwab's show.
Yeah.
There's something happening on his show tonight at 6:30.
Oh, there's something big happening. Can it, Cal, can I get the, I didn't ask you for this. Can I get the drum roll again?
What's happening tonight on Pete Schwab's show Nightlight at 6:30?
I will be on the show. What a downer, seriously. What a waste of a hot...
great.
Yeah, I'll be on the show at 6:35 with Pete to talk about the Milwaukee Comedy Festival starting next, unofficially Monday, with the Roast of Milwaukee. But then on Tuesday, we kick it off officially, the 20th anniversary, the 20th festival. Aparna Nancharla, who has been on TV, been in movies, wrote a wonderful book, kicks it off at Lakefront Brewery. But we'll be talking more about that in the coming days. But on Pete's show tonight, 6:35, I'll be there talking with him about that, the festival, as well as comedy, because we always talk about comedy, because he and I are both stand-ups. I have a lot in common on that level, but I'm very much looking forward to seeing him and talking to him. And also, just a really quick thing, too, depending on how the game goes today, we may know who the Brewers play this Saturday. If the Cubs win game two, I will be very not
You
happy.
Won't be the only one.
So, yeah.
Join Pete Schwab tonight, Nightlight, at 6:30. Learn all about the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. Mm-hmm. Let's go support our comics.
Yeah.
It is late, Calvin. 10:55. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Should you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me, Jane says, at civicmedia.us. This is from HuckMagazine.com.
Calvin, watch your mouth.
Calvin found this one. Headline reads, Vibrations and Victories at the World Worm Charming Championships.
Yes. Maybe we don't need legal marijuana.
On the flat green expanse of a school playing field in Cheshire, England, a crowd armed with French horns, recorders, pogo sticks, and pitchforks are preparing for the 46th annual World Worm Charming Championships. For the next 30 minutes, every square meter can make the difference between glory and going home wormless.
Wait, what? Wait a minute.
Teams have 30 minutes to coax as many worms as possible from a designated 3x3 meter plot. No digging, no use of water. Instead, worms have to be charmed by vibrations, which the organizer says works because the worms think it's raining. So then they come out.
This seems mean.
There's the traditional twanging, driving a garden fork into the ground and then rhythmically vibrating it so the soil shivers like rain. Some prefer music, from harmonicas to heavy metal blasted through speakers. Others prefer stamping on it with a variety of footwear. The 75-year-old organizer, Mr. Forster.
That's his full name.
Co-founded the event in the early 80s.
When asked why he did it, he's like, man, cocaine is amazing.
Amazingly, it's quite awe-inspiring to watch the worms come out. Everything you see is true. We just enhance it a little bit and make it a little bit more magical. He has seen the championships grow from a small village oddity to now a Guinness World Record-holding spectacle.
That doesn't mean anything. Guinness, whatever.
Don't be dissing championships.
This should not be a thing, is it not?
3,000 people turned out last year. The worms are carried to the counting tent after the event, where volunteers sift through them looking for the winner. Last year, the winning plot produced 71 worms that were brought to the surface by tapping garden forks with rubber mallets. We'll include the link in the show notes.
Oh, yeah, so absolutely, because you need this in your life. When asked for comment, the worms were like, can you just leave us alone?
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and watching on the stream. It really means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just the littlest of little bits, and you have the chance to share it. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman. Be listening for that keyword for our multi-state text to win. Go for the green and gold contest. Have a wonderful day. We will be back tomorrow.
is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano in Washington. With no progress reported on a deal to fund the government and end the shutdown, TSA workers have to stay on the job. But there's concern over potential delays and cancellations. This traveler was passing through Chicago.
Not really worried. We've been through a lot worse, you know, with COVID and everything else. But, nowadays we can do a lot of stuff virtually if we have to. But, you know, the travel is going to be... It might be an impact for us staying late nights at airports and having to rebook flights and such, or things like that.
In California, many people, civilian and military, at Travis Air Force Base aren't being paid. CBS News Sacramento's Steve Large is there.
Congressmember John Garamendi represents Fairfield and says there are 10,000 members of the military and 10,000 civilians and their dependents on this base no longer getting paid during the shutdown.
People begin worrying about the paycheck. How am I going to pay the rent?
A spokesperson for Travis Air Force Base released a statement reading in part, members who find themselves in financial